One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Now, what we have here are a collection of stories, experiences, and anecdotes about my one-handed experiences looking for work in a two-handed world. Sometimes funny, sometimes challenging, but most of the time, pretty funny. This is a talk I did for the Bureau of Reclamation for National Employment Awareness Heritage Month. Thanks for tuning in, and have a good time.
Thanks for the applause. I really appreciate that. Normally, I like to say I need a hand. It's a good way to start. And then I enjoy the theme this year for National Disability Employment Awareness Month. Right? My disability is a part of who I am. Right? This is it. Right? This is how I came out of the box this way. And I, in this time frame, I really don't think it's going to change. There's no surgery that's going to help this along, so to speak. So this is the body I have, and then I have to work with that. And initially, I'd like to say that finding work was not easy. And now I can say I gladly not have two hands, so none of you have to deal with it, because it was not pleasant for an incredibly long time. And then I grew up in a different time frame. People thought much differently about disabilities at that time. Before 1991, you could almost legally discriminate against people if you didn't want to hire them. And even though legally that has changed, people's perception hasn't changed that much. I just think sometimes how people discriminate can be differently administered. So it's much more subtle now. It used to be much more overt. But trying to find a job from the time I was 16 to 227 was incredibly challenging. And in some cases, kind of fun, just to notice how people would discriminate against me. Some people were very open. They would just say, no, we're not going to hire you because you are disabled. And then when I was 24 in Seattle looking for work, I went into a bar, had a help wanted sign out front. So I thought, I'm capable. I'll go get a job. I walk into the place. The guy just takes one look at me. He looks down at me, looks at my arm. He's like, oh, no, we're not going to hire you. You're handicapped. And I thought, oh, I haven't heard that word in a while. It's the first thing I said to him. I was like, well, I haven't heard that word in a while. I was like, typically now people say disabled, but you don't hear handicapped that much. And then in my head, if that's what you think, I don't want to work for you. I'd rather not. And there's a number of types of work that are just easily gettable. And so maybe I don't work in a bar, or maybe I don't flip food. I do some manual labor, but even manual labor jobs are very difficult to acquire, right? Because it's manual labor. Right? And then people think, if I can't do it, then you can't do it. If I cannot do it with two hands, how can you do it with one? Right? I think that's a little more like disabled thinking. Right? I don't think disability has a lot to do with this body. I think it has to do with how you think. And if you think very limited, or you think limited about other people, I think your thinking is highly disabled. But I want to share with you my first experience finding work that was very discriminatory. And then initially I want to say, normally I don't spend that much time talking about the hard times. Because you can have a general idea of how hard it is. And then, do you really want to come and listen to people's hard times all the time? Right? Overcoming adversity is more my point. Right? And then I actually enjoy not having two hands. I know that seems a little odd, but I get 50% off all manicures. There's actually a lot of benefits to not having two hands, and I'll save that for a different speech, right? But I like it. It's kind of cool. And if I think about it, there are actually a lot of cool things. Like yesterday, I flew out to Denver. I did a disability speech out there. Right? And then when I got to the plane, the lady asked me if I wanted to get on the plane early. And then they carried my bag. I thought, oh yeah, I feel like a rock star. And I, in the back of my head, I think, oh, what a great benefit. Right? That's such a great perk. You're going to carry my bag, and I get on the plane early. That's so sweet. And then she even put it up in a little thing for me. But it hasn't always been like that, and I didn't always think like this. But when I was 16 years old, I wanted to find some work, and a friend of mine said, oh, I can get you a job where I work, which was the Pancake House or International House of Pancakes. Something had to do with waffles or something like that. And I thought, oh, this is great. I got an in. I want to get a gig. My friend works there. It's going to be a really great environment. Then I got there, and I sat down at the bar. The receptionist asked me to sit down at the bar. The manager will be out in a moment. So I sat down at the bar this way, and the manager is coming this way. So all he can see is this. Hanging out, waiting for him to show up. So he shows up. He's like, oh, at that time, I just went by Andro. He's like, oh, Andro, come here. Right? He's like, we'll do the interview. Right? So I got up, and I turned like this. And his whole expression went. Right? He didn't even have to say a word. And I pretty much knew I wasn't going to get the gig. Right? And he's like, oh, well, he even kind of had this thing, like, why are you even wasting my time? Which I've experienced way too much. Other people's thinking. That's not how I think. I get 50% off all manicures, right? It's not how I think, but that's how other people think. And he was like, oh, come here. He's like, well, let me have you sit over here for a minute. I'll be back. Yeah, he never showed up. That's cold. Right? 45 minutes I sat there. I was like, oh, that's cold. And you want to be like that, fine, just be honest. Just tell me you don't want to hire me. Just let me move on. I'd rather not work for you anyway. I can find a job somewhere else. And that went on for an incredibly long time. Some people, not all my job interviews were like that, but I've just learned now at a job interview just to come right up front. Once I actually got a job, I kept my arm in my pocket. When I went in for the initial interview, it's like, oh, I'm looking for work. You know, I just had both hands in my, because I can play it off. You know, if I stand a certain way or if I let my hair down long enough, you know, you might not even know. Right? And then I got the interview. And then even in the interview, like I have a prosthetic arm, but I don't wear it. But then I just wore it and I kept, you know, both my hands in my pocket, just played it off this whole thing. And then I actually got hired. And then they found out I didn't have two hands. That's a weird interaction. But at that point, they're like, well, we hired you, so we will might as well see what you can do. But I've had really good experiences with work also in that first 10 years of my life from 16 to 27, 28 years old. But the majority were not that positive. And then when I moved to Boise, I used to live in Seattle. When I moved to Boise, I had to find work. And at that time, I think I was 20, 26 years old. So I'm not young, but I'm not really that old. And I got some mileage, but not a lot, but I need to work. And then sometimes, you take a chance, you move to a city. When you're younger, you need to work. Right? And I can find work, I'm capable, right? I can wash dishes, I'll do anything. It doesn't matter to me, whatever it takes to get started. But they were building this hotel in town, the American Inn, I can't remember. Oh, the Anniversary Inn. Anyone ever been there? They had all the theme hotels, right? It was really cool. And they were looking for creative people because they needed people to do painting. And I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. It's perfect for me. I'm creative. And then I walked to the job site, and it's very manual labor. It's very blue-collar overtone. It's just people working hard, right? And I don't mind working hard. I'd just rather not work hard. Right? It's a great thing about kicking the new knowledge, right? You got some good education. You don't have to work as hard. Right? Nothing wrong with that. I don't mind working hard. I just would rather not work hard. Right? But at some point, I kind of realized it's going to be either I have to upgrade my job, or I'm going to spend a lot of time working hard or working really hard to find work. And that gets old quick. However, I came to this job site. I saw a lot of employees around two people. I figured the two people in the middle were the managers, right? Because they didn't look as dirty as the other workers. Right? So I came and I approached them. Came in, separated the crew, came to the managers, and I said, they just looked at me like this, like, what do you want? And I said, I am looking for a job. And at that point, all the employees kind of looked around at each other, and they all scattered. And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then the two managers, they kind of looked at each other, and then they looked at me, and they said, well, that was kind of weird. I said, yeah, but typically people don't want to actually witness discrimination in action. So I think they just left on the outside chance that something bad might happen. You know, so we might as well get to the point. I'm looking for work. And they just looked at me. And then we're just standing there looking at each other. And I thought, I wonder how long I should wait until they say something. But I looked right at them and I said, you know, I've been in this situation before, so I'm just gonna cut it and I'm gonna get right to the point. I realize I don't have two hands. And then this is manual labor. So here's my offer. This is what I learned after years of trying to find work, is I have to be very assertive. And then sometimes you have to give a little to get a little. So I said, here's my offer. I will work for you for 4 hours for free. If you like what you see, you hire me. If you don't like what you see, you get 4 hours of free work and I'm gone and there's no problem. And any good businessman will take that deal. Any good businessman will take 4 hours of free work. Because I know if they can see what I do, they'll hire me. And I said, and give me some work that actually challenges me. Right? So after 4 hours, they're like, yeah, you're hired. And then after a week, the guy's like, wow, I wish my other employees had one hand. Give myself a high five. Right? Right? So that was great. And then that's been my in. That's how I found the rest of my jobs until I actually acquired this gig. And then people have even hired me and thought, I don't know why I hired you. I didn't think you could do the work, but I don't know, maybe I felt sorry for you. But then you got the gig, and wow, you actually know how to work. Right? Because sometimes we're not splitting atoms. I'm just flipping burgers. Right? And then, you know, with one hand, I just spend a lot of time in double time. Right? And then I also have to be very creative. And I have to solve problems on my own. It's the other benefit of not having two hands. You wouldn't think about that. But every time I get in a new car, if it's a stick, I got to figure stuff out. So naturally, one hand has allowed me to be more creative in life, which has supported my endeavor to live my life as an artist, and I think that's pretty cool. I like that. But then, by happenstance, indirectly met Hector Salazar, and he was looking to hire people in the government. And then at that time, he was looking to really fulfill a little more diversity in color, and then diversity, I guess, in body types, so people with disabilities. So he had met my mother somewhere, and they exchanged some information, and Hector had said, oh, we're looking to hire some people in the government, and he's like, I'm looking to hire more Hispanics. And my mom's like, oh, my son's Hispanic. Well, half Hispanic. And then she's like, oh, and he has a disability. So Hector was like, oh, good. So double that right up. It's like the icing and the cherry right on top. You know? And then they're creative. They were looking for illustrators at the time, an illustrator, because the two illustrators that had worked here for, I don't know, 35,000 years. Merlin and Dennis, they'd been here for 20, 30 years at the time, you know. I mean, a huge amount of time. It was a great time to come into illustration. We were transitioning out of physical work, more into the digital realm. And then I got hired in Schedule A. I did contract work for a while, try it before you buy it kind of thing, right? So they hired me in for 2-3 months on contract, and they were having trouble hiring me in. And I initially got hired into EEO. That's where I worked as an illustrator in EEO. And Hector and my boss at the time, Jeff Gross, they were trying to figure out how to hire me. And they're like, well, we don't really want to open the job up because, you know, then you have to compete and all this, and we really want you and this kind of thing. And it's so funny that EEO and HR were debating this, and Schedule A had never got brought up for, I don't know, 2 months possibly. And then they had a great epiphany. I don't know who came up with it. It was either Jeff or Hector. But they're like, oh, we can hire you in Schedule A. You have a disability. And that process was quite interesting. At first I almost felt a little bad, but then I thought about how hard it had been to get a job for a decade. And then the whole thing is, if I can't do the work, I really shouldn't have the job. But I can do the work, so why not? And I fit. Merlin and Dennis both liked me. I did really good work here. It seemed really appropriate. And then when I was talking to my boss about it in EEO, Jeff Gross, about Schedule A, he was really honest. This aspect of Schedule A, his perspective of Schedule A hiring in the government was very positive. He said the government should take care of its people. I'll have to say that again. He said the federal government should take care of its citizens. So hiring Schedule A is a very good thing. right? Hiring veterans with disabilities, hiring with diversity. He's like, we should make our population better. And if that means just hiring people, right? Maybe they don't have that much experience, they can do the work, there's a lot of potential, hire them, they can grow. And if they, he said, if you want to acquire a lot of work as an illustrator and go get a job in the private sector, that's fine. Because what my goal is in the government is to make our citizens better people. Oh, I thought that was beautiful. I don't know any other way to say it. It was really just a great perspective on Schedule A. It's not so much, you know, quota is not a word we try to use very much, or we have to hire, you know, percentages of things like this. He said, no, we just want to make our citizens better people. And he's like, I'm in a position to help you out. Obviously, you've had trouble finding work. He's like, you can do the work, so let's make it work. So it worked. And here I am, 15 years. And I love working as an illustrator. And then I've been through the whole assistive technology thing, right? Like one-handed keyboards, and they're not that good. Right? Cording keyboards, it's hard to do finger commands on my computer. In graphic arts, we do a lot of keyboard commands. Right? You can't do that on a cording keyboard. One-handed keyboards aren't designed for that. And over time, keyboards have become smaller, which helps me because my span doesn't have to go that far. And I have just learned to type very well. Well, as well as I can with one hand. It's something I don't focus on. And as a graphic artist, like in the private sector when I do graphic artwork, if you hire me to do work and then you actually give me text that's written, I'll give it back. It's in my contract. I don't type. Right? You don't want to pay me to type. Right? Because for a long time it was like this. Sometimes I still do it like that. I'm pretty good like this. But the best piece of assistive technology I've acquired is the Wacom tablets. Right? It's a graphic art pen and tablet. It's like a giant mouse with a pen. Right? And not only from an artistic standpoint, they're very natural, and then I don't want a mouse. I have one hand. The last thing I want is carpal tunnel on this side. Right? Yeah, I haven't used a mouse in, I don't know, 17 years. It's got, my mouse got dust on it. I just push it, I play with it. I'm like, oh, you're cute. And then it's wireless, it's a mouse with no tail. But the great thing about the Wacom tablet is that I can program all the keyboard strokes that I need to use. Right. And it's interesting, people in IT know this a little more. There's some really cryptic keystroke commands. Like you almost need 5 arms to do these things. I've almost taken my shoe off so I can hit that extra key. Right? Those kind of spans and the graphic art, it just makes me move faster. I can actually get more work done if I can do these keyboard commands instead of always scrolling up and looking for them. Right? So my Wacom tablet, I can actually program them. And then it's just one button I have to hit with my short side. It's like a big finger. Right? So what I need is like a computer with big buttons. How cool would that be? A keyboard that's really big, I could just go like this. So the Wacom tablet's been really good. It's probably been my best piece of technology, and then voice command. Fortunately, both my supervisors are very supportive. And as a person with a disability, like was said, I'm also very adaptive, and I'm very creative. So before I ask for a lot, I try to solve a lot of problems on my own. And then in the end, one thing that I really realized that would help me is just dictation. Right? So if I can actually speak my report and then I can go through and edit it, it works a lot better than actually trying to type it. And then I've actually spent a lot of money having people type things for me because it just seems like a lot of money, but if I have to do it, the amount of time, for what I get paid, the amount of time it takes in relation to what I have to pay, actually I'm saving money. But now dictation software has come up to speed. It works fairly well. I mean, Siri doesn't work that good. She can be a little weird. But it's really advanced. And then there's third-party dictation software that's very powerful. It actually learns, right? You train it. So it has it learns your morning voice, or I've had 2 martini voice, that kind of thing. Right? They can be very powerful. So that's helped me a lot. I don't use that much adaptive technology, but I do utilize it. And then that's another great thing about the government is that they support that. Not all places are willing to do things like that, especially in the private sector. And then I will say, being hired here has actually changed my life. Right? Working for the federal government, it's been a great benefit. Not the fact that I actually make more money as an artist, or if anything, it's I make stable money as an artist. But it's just the support that I get as a person with a disability in the government, it's never been an issue. I mean, I've had some quirks, you know. People, I can't change how you think. I can be a condition of change, but I can't cause you to change. So yeah, sometimes I deal with even people here in 15 years. It's interesting perspectives, right? Discrimination's not the same that it used to be. It's a little bit different. Sometimes I just get stared at a lot. And I don't think my disability is that extreme, but sometimes people stare at me. Kids stare at me all the time. It's great. Right? But I sometimes consider like staring too strongly a form of like very subtle discrimination. I think you would rather just ask. But sometimes I notice when people stare at me, I stare at them. Maybe I'll wait till they look at me. But one thing that I like to do when I notice people staring at me, because they'll just stare at my arm. They'll just stare at me, so I'll do this. Then I'll look at them and be like, gotcha! Right? Or just wave. Okay. I'll wave at kids. Kids will stare at me, and I'll wave at them, and then they'll run off. Right? My mom's like, why'd you do that? I'm like, I give them something to think about. But overall, I enjoy who I am. I mean, this is part of who I am. I mean, this is it. You might as well like who you are. Right? It's one of my messages. Whatever body you got's the body you got, so you got to like it. Right? And I like who I am. And when you can sit there and see that I like who I am, hopefully it can inspire you to like who you are. Because it makes a huge difference. I mean, who wants to hire somebody that doesn't like who they are? Right? Yeah, it's like bad seed. You know, one hand, two hands, four hands, no hands, doesn't matter. You like who you are, you're more easily hireable. And then we also don't hire for skill set. We also hire for fit. Do you fit the culture? If you're a happy, shiny person, you fit most cultures. So yeah, a person with disability can add a lot to the work environment, can make you laugh, can make you feel better about yourself, can inspire you. I go down to tie my shoes, kids come running. They're amazed I can tie my shoe. And they're like, oh, I can do it too. And just make that like big kid thing. Like, oh, wow, you do good work. Or maybe I can do better work too. So if you're in a position, support people with disabilities. Go out of your way to talk to them, help them. And then if you are a manager, contemplate it. It's an easy process for hiring, and it has many more benefits. And it brings much more quality to the workplace than simply saying on paper that I've done this. It's a great benefit. And that is all I have to say.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.